Congratulations. You've made an excellent life choice today. You're displaying strong character and good taste in tuning into this infotainment web zone. We're poorly informed, highly opinionated, and hold no topic off limits. This is Idiots Discuss the Universe. Buddy, welcome to the 26th episode of Idiots Discuss the Universe. I'm Craig, and this is Spencer.
Hello.
And we've got a pretty fascinating topic. I think it's one that we've talked about, I know, over the last year and a half that we've known each other. I guess we've known each other about a year and a half.
Yeah.
A bunch. I think it's one of our first topics, kind of, because this is just all over the place. And especially in Portland, people talk about it all the time.
Oh, boy.
Right. The supposed or the real rise of fascism in America. Is America becoming fascist?
You know, this one... I was really excited for this one. I am really excited. I'm excited right now. I was going into it thinking one way, and then I came out of it after doing a little research thinking the opposite way. And that's always pretty fun doing these when you have one sort of opinion going into things, and then you come out the other side kind of, oh, a little more nuanced. And so I'm excited for that because...
And that's happened a surprising number of times for me with these topics.
Yeah. It just goes to show, I guess, that research and knowing what you're talking about is incredibly important, especially when it comes to stuff like this. Like a statement like America's fascist is like such a large claim and such a loaded statement that if you're going to make that statement, you know, maybe look up what the definition of fascism is. Like maybe do that first.
On that note, let's talk about that a little bit. What is fascism? There have been several iterations of it throughout history, and some of them have stuck with that term very strongly and with good reason, I think so. But like, if you strip all of that historical stuff away from it, it's still a political philosophy.
Yeah.
And so let's just kind of talk about what that political philosophy looks like and what it contains.
Well, I'm curious to see what you got in your research, because I see what I found, but I'm wondering if maybe my sources were biased or something like that. So I'm curious to see what your definition is or what you found.
The definition I found kind of works in opposites, in the sense that it sort of tells you what fascism is against to start out with.
Okay.
Fascism is anti-liberal, anti-communist, and anti-conservatist. All of the, you know, the primary left and centrist political views, it's pretty much archly opposed to all of that. Mm-hmm. It exalts the nation above the individual.
Yep.
It's highly nationalist generally, or even that nationalism can have a highly charged racial aspect as well, in the sense that people in the nation some people in the nation are not necessarily part of that nation. That is a common thing in a lot of fascist societies. But again, that is not a core part of the actual definition. And it demands a high level of obedience from the population. It's highly regimented and it's pro-business. It also has a tendency to focus on the youth, and it possesses this idea of aggressive mobilization towards a goal or an end or a return to a semi-mythic golden political past.
Interesting.
So let's hear, like, how does that differ from what you found?
Well, that pretty much checks out with what I found. Other than Well, when I was looking into it, I found that, you know how like Marxism has Karl Marx, or communism has Karl Marx, capitalism has what, Adam Smith?
Sure.
You know, I was like, who's the fascism guy?
It's an Italian dude,
right? It's Giovanni Gentile.
Gentile.
I think that's how you say it.
Giovanni Gentile.
I love my fascism.
It's a good time.
It's a good time. You do what I say. I make the pasta and my spaghetti. Okay. Anyway, so he was a guy who was around from, born in 1875 and lived until 1944 to see like the rise of maybe some of the...
See the fruits of his...
the fruits of his
ideological labors.
Yeah. So... So basically, through reading about this guy, I understood that he basically believed that there are two types of democracy. There is liberal democracy and true democracy. Now, guess which one he leans towards?
Well, the true kind.
The true
kind.
Right. Wow, making no secrets there, you know? Like, oh, wow, I wonder what this guy believes. So he thinks liberal democracy is individualistic and too centered on the self and personal rights and everyone's individual right to be free, you know? And therefore inherently selfish because they're putting the personal rights, the rights of a single human above the welfare of the state, which is inherently the welfare of the all the people,
right?
The group.
Right.
And so true democracy, which is what he humbly recommended, is where individuals willingly subordinate themselves to the state. Now, I guess the willingly is like the key word there, because once it becomes non-willing, then it's not democracy anymore. But I guess I agree with him in the sense that, like, if everyone's down and everyone's like, all right, we you know what, we've decided that we will subordinate ourselves to the greater good in order to do things that we have all agreed are the right things to do, you know, in an ideal world, I could see how that would look good on paper. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay.
That's the great thing about political philosophy, is that you can kind of slip that in there as a given, and then you can build all of your trellis work on top of that. Like, well, first we got to get the people to go along with this shit. But once they do, then we can do whichever one that they're going to be talking about.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I see that, like, you know, we already do some of that true democracy here in America, where we put in money toward our roads and we, you know, we do support certain civic institutions.
Tons of, you know, state-run agencies, you know, in charge of healthcare, education, energy, you know, you name it.
Right. So he just kind of like, he likes that without so much that Bill of, that pesky Bill of Rights stuff, and more a selfless culture, in the sense that they identify as part of the group a little bit more. They're less rugged individual than America and democracy is.
Right.
Right.
And so one thing that I found really interesting was that he was a committed socialist. He was a very committed socialist.
Well, the Nazis were a socialist party.
They were the National Socialists. Yeah.
Sure.
And so he essentially believed that fascism was a form of socialism, essentially the most workable form of socialism.
Right.
You know, so he believed, because socialism is essentially when, you know, everyone is giving back to the state, and the state has control over most of the things. The state is like your parents and whatnot, and makes it so everyone can work together, and you know, a ton of, like, immense taxes and whatnot. And so I was kind of interested to find that out, because normally I hear fascism, the, you know, that term being lobbed at like conservatives and people on the right, when really its original founder was a dedicated socialist, which is something that most conservatives would like never be caught dead believing in. Like that's why I was surprised. And, you know, the whole Nazis being socialists and fascism being essentially a form of socialism by the man who invented the philosophy in general, I was like, oh, it totally flipped my interpretation of what it was, what is to be, because I think
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but one thing to keep in mind is the definition of socialism back then was a much broader one than we enjoy now, in the sense that socialism kind of spanned, you could be a very conservative socialist or a very liberal socialist, and it kind of took the whole, they kind of used it in a way in Europe like we use.
Yeah, but I mean, the socialists still have that core tenet of the state maintaining control, or not, maybe not control, but maintaining.
Well, I would argue that American conservative democracy, even like the kind that, you know, George Bush would support, if George Bush could have just that conservative agenda in place, that's still a form of socialism.
Well, you're right. I mean
we live in a socialist society. We loathe to call it that, but America has some very strong ingrained socialist,
well, I guess any policies, form of government, of organized government,
to some degree,
could be considered a form,
sure,
of socialism. So
sure.
I agree with that, but I do think that socialists, like when we're talking about that term in
means
general,
state control,
it means state over the individual,
right?
I think so too. You know what I mean?
Think so too.
And I think,
but
most
government, that's what government is, the state,
right,
over,
right,
the individual.
Yes.
Anarchy, except for anarchy, which is not really a system of government, it's an anti-system of government,
right? But it does seem that the conservatives are vying for as small of a government as possible, which is the difference between you know, what I see, you know, most people who are identify as socialists and people who identify, or leftists or whatever, and people who identify as conservative. Conservatives are trying to strip away the government piece by piece, mm-hmm, because they, mm-hmm, believe, like, you know, the private sector will take care of it. The private sector,
right,
will do everything. And people as individuals, when left up to their own devices, will inherently run things the way that they should.
So let's
run.
Just get into this on an official level. Okay, let's ask the question. Is America current tendencies moving it towards fascism? And I think that's a great example to start out with. What we're doing as far as stripping the government of its power and its teeth and turning it over to corporations. Now, that is not something that historically fascist states have done.
Right.
Fascist states do take care of business, but they are very controlling of those businesses.
High regulation.
Those businesses operate completely under the thumb of the government, where the movement in America is the giving away of that regulation and that oversight to the corporations.
Right.
So in that sense, as far as, and that's the way that I understand it, maybe that's, maybe there are more regulations that, I mean, I'm sure there are a bunch still, but again, like, I feel like that is like where Trump's moving, and a lot of different,
totally,
his all of those parties are moving away from government regulation of business, which is inherently a non-fascist idea.
Yes.
It's not a good idea, but it's not fascist.
Right. Okay. I mean, you can argue the it being good or bad, or maybe a little of both in different scenarios, you know.
But well, that idea to excess concerns me, maybe, would be the,
sure,
better way to say that.
Sure.
But it's not fascist.
Right. That's not, yeah, exactly. That it is inherently not fascist to be deregulating, you know, the economy.
Right.
And to be stepping out of organizations like, you know, like the EPA and all that kind of stuff, as much good as they, you know, do or don't do, I don't know. Those organizations, their existence is closer to what a fascist government would look like. And because essentially fascists, you know, I guess going according to the Giovanni guy, they're socialists with a national identity.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, just think about the, you know, Nazis. That was like a shorthand for national socialists,
mm-hmm,
you know.
So let's talk about that nationalism part.
Right.
Do you feel that patriotism and nationalism are the driving forces behind the conservative, behind the movement that is commonly referred to as like the pro-fascist, or, you know, that, you know, or that side of things.
Well, okay, so I guess, well, I really want to try to answer the question outright that we're posing in this episode, which is America turning fascist. I would say yes, with an asterisk. And I was originally going into it being like, no, no way. But now, after doing some more research, I would say yes, and the asterisk is there are prominent elements of fascism that have arisen on both sides of the aisle.
Okay, hit me with some of them.
Okay, so on the right, you know, we'll just start with that because I feel like they're, at least where we live, they get the label most of all.
Mm.
It's the nationalism thing. It's the fervent patriotism. It's the, you know, condemning of the other, okay. You know, as maybe, you know, Trump is, you know, ran on a whole campaign of, you know, immigrants or illegal immigrants are coming in and they're rapists, so there's and they're
the
criminals.
Fear, the fear there's of the outsider.
The fear of sure. the outsider.
Sure.
But the thing, and that's the biggest connection on the right. But I think that's really one of the only connections on the right.
I would add a couple more. The other right has an unquestioning love of the military, and there's that pro law enforcement side of the right. That's pretty generally
pretty fascist.
Pretty not fascist, but that's a fascist component in that side of things. I think support that, maybe not on a fascist level yet, but you know, there that element exists.
But I don't know. Yeah. Okay. No, I see what you're saying.
I just don't know that that's
inherently a policy of like fascism, you know, but I do see how enforcement of socialism requires there to be a military.
I don't think it's an exclusive element of fascism, but I do think it's an element.
Right.
I mean, okay. I think there are other forms of government that would be a part of it too, but that's part of it.
But I think the big shining beacon on the right is like the nationalism.
The nationalism and the racism that exists in America,
sure.
I think, is mostly considers itself Republican or independent. That outspoken racist. I think everybody's got some racist things going on. Even the liberals, especially, have got some racist stuff going on. But that hatred, that racist hate type of stuff,
totally,
is mostly on the right.
And I think there are people who associate with themselves on the right who adopt and embrace the term fascism, like the neo-Nazis and the KKK. Mm. You know,
again, I don't believe that a lot of those groups really understand that as much as they enjoy the symbology
exactly.
of that movement.
They just look at Hitler and they're like, yeah, he, you know, did all this stuff, but they don't really look at the policies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, if you are embracing the term fascism, then you're actually on the left,
yes.
is what I think, because that means you're a socialist. Like, if we're talking about the pure definition, it's socialism. You know, it's more regulation. It's basically giving all the things over to the state. It's letting the state take control in as many ways as possible while still having capitalism, you know, because capitalism is still at play. At least it was in Mussolini and Hitler's, you know, they were still like capitalist.
There needs to be a limited form of capitalism for the market mechanism to work.
Right. For the whole thing to just function, for the
absolutely.
Gears to turn.
Yeah.
But as far as the nationalism thing goes on the right and those racist groups who associate themselves with the right, I would say that they're both, they're incorrect on almost every level. Obviously,
right.
the racism is boldly incorrect. That I don't even need to explain that. But they're also not really on the right, I don't think. Like, I would say most conservatives would, you know, just like laugh at those people, you know. And I would say they vote for those, like they probably all voted for Trump, you know. Mm-hmm. Like there's that saying, not all Trump voters are racists, but all racists voted for Trump.
I think there's some truth to that,
you know. Totally think there's truth to that, but I still think it's unfair to condemn every Trump voter as being like the closet neo-Nazi, you know what I mean?
Which I think that's absolutely I don't think that there's I think pitting any large group and saying that they're all one thing is inherently, you know, that's one of the fallacies of logic for a reason.
Right, exactly. But I do understand why, like, the nationalism, the fear of outsiders, that was a big part of the Trump campaign. And that, to me, is the closest thing that his regime, his administration gets to fascism, mm-hmm. is like the banking on nationalism. Mm-hmm. But as far as policy goes,
the thing that I liken the Trump regime to the most is like a third world African strongman government. It really is, where it's a cult of personality, it's anti-intellectual, it's turning the reins of the government over to a group of cronies and oligarchs that kind of run the state industries, and it all becomes like this big country club. That's where it wants to go. I don't know if it's not really there, because representational democracy is, of course, doing its job sort of right now. It's ugly, but that's kind of what it looks like, I think. But like, it does kind of give you that sort of African dictator sort of feel.
Yeah, I think it does, but it also, to me, that's a little bit of a stretch. Like, I think as far as a personality wise, he's definitely coming across as an African dictator.
But, I think that's what he'd like to be.
Yeah, but I also don't...
Oh, the best one ever, of course.
Sure,
but like,
sure.
You know.
But I don't necessarily agree with that. Like, I can see why people would be, especially with the way that, you know, all the clips that you see of him and everything that, you know, all of his, like, misleading tweets and, you know, the lies and everything. Like, he's for sure lies. But I don't know that he necessarily wants to be, like, a dictator. Mainly because I feel like he has done pretty well for himself in a non-dictatorial setting, and that, you know, maybe, and this is me, you know, giving him the benefit of a doubt, which I know makes me automatically a racist and automatically like pro-rape or whatever.
No, but I think maybe I misspoke in a way. I believe that, like, he's going to be an African strongman in the sense that you'll keep the democracy. I mean, he'd like to keep the democracy in check, let everybody vote, do all the great things, have lots of parades, still be America or whatever. But, you know, like, if he decided that he didn't really want to follow that law right now, that he should be able to be like, yeah, well, you know, I'm Trump, dude. I'm going to fix this one and get this taken care of over here. And I'm going to, you know, I want to rent out the Lincoln Memorial for weddings and then pocket some of the money, like, you know, that's fucking cool too, you know, because that, like, you know, they're doing it because Trump got this going, you know?
Sure.
So like, he would like a big cut of the pie. You can't tell me that
he would.
He's corrupt enough that he would take it. But again, like, he likes everybody to have a good time and be happy and, you know, get along and all that sort of stuff. He wants everybody to love him.
I don't see him like threatening or offing his opponents. You know what I mean? Like, maybe, like, I just don't see him doing it. Like,
I think anybody that's capable of becoming president of the United States of America is capable of offing their opponents.
Yeah,
I think he's probably not offed as many of them as most of the other presidents by the time they got into that office. But I think you're capable of offing people if you're capable of being
sure,
the president.
Sure, but I see him doing that in a more just like public embarrassment and just kind of like reaming them on Twitter sort of way, which is very public, rather than just making them like strangely commit suicide out in the woods, you know, with a gun duct taped to their hand or whatever, you know. Like, to me, he is like obviously like this big loud buffoon, but it kind of makes it a lot different than the quiet, insidious nature that maybe a lot of other presidents have maintained power. But this is kind of off point. I don't want to make this necessarily like all about Trump, even though it was totally going to go there no matter what.
Well, of course,
you know, because he's the current president. He's the reason why everyone's like screaming fascism. But, you know,
but all I'm saying is love Trump, don't love Trump. Trump is not a fascist.
Yes, I'm agreed.
Trump has some like old dude racist overtones to some of the stuff that he says. Trump loves money. Trump is kind of a doofus. Trump is anti-intellectual. These things are not fascist.
Right. Trump is like the pinnacle of liberal democracy. You could never have a guy like Trump become a thing without a completely liberal democracy, not a true democracy, you know, which is fascism, according to Giovanni Gentile. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't get a guy like Trump because if Trump was a thing, he would have given all of his money back to the state because the state would be above the individual. You wouldn't have like Trump Industries and Trump this and Trump that.
Well, the state would have enough control that somebody like Trump would never be allowed to even stand up on the podium and run for it. It would never happen. Yeah. I mean, Trump is a testament to the fact that we do have a relatively open democracy. It's not perfect by any means, but like anybody can get elected. Like, you can, like shit happens that nobody really wanted to happen.
I mean, you obviously got to be rich, but I mean, once you get to that point, I mean, I guess you stand a good chance, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess that brings me to...
I had one more quick point.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that we started out with that fascist definition of what fascist really is, and I mean, we're idiots and we're being like kind of anti-idiots here for a minute, where we're being like
we're being well, too that's, intellectual
well that's the definition of fascism, we've looked it up and we've written it down and that's what it is, and everyone else is wrong. But what fascist means, thank you punk rock, thank you like youth culture since like the 50s and the 60s, like the fascists were who like the baby boomers parents fought in the war, and so everything that every time they wanted to piss off a baby boomer, you call them a fascist. So in America we have a different working definition of fascism that I think that the IDTU needs to take a little break and recognize. Fascist means bully in America, essentially. Like, why won't you give me the car tonight, Dad? Well, you didn't do your chores this afternoon, son. You're a fascist, Dad.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. I'm going to go play video games, you fascist. You know, that's what fascist means, where Dad's putting down the thing. You're not getting what you want. You know what I'm saying? Or like surf Nazis are a bunch of fascists because they won't want anybody that's not a local surf on their beach.
You say surf Nazi?
Surf Nazis. You ever watch Surf Nazis?
No.
Yeah. Surf Nazis Must Die. You should watch that movie.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, no, like, you know, those surf Nazis are a bunch of fascists because they won't let anybody surf on their beach except for locals.
Oh, these waves, they are so great. We must make sure no Jews ever get near these waves. That was such a sick curl, bro.
No, they're not that kind of... They're totally, dude, get your swastika out and put it on the beach while we're surfing, bro!
All right.
Try to bring it in right between the two swastikas, bro!
The will triumph, my bro.
Look at those she-wolves, baby.
It's more like that.
I can't really remember. Surf Nazis. There's a lot of killing in Surf Nazis Must Die, as you may guess from the title.
Okay. Is it a documentary?
No, it is. It is not a documentary.
I'm sad now.
I don't remember who the director is, but it's some B movie treasure.
Oh damn!
But it just means bully, and in that sense, like Trump is a fascist in the sense that he's a bully.
Yeah, I have a bit of an issue with this, like changing of definitions of words. Even though I understand that words inherently do change with every generation,
my problem is that this loose definition of fascist has been picked up by the news media on all sides
and
has been employed to the utmost for shock value, where they all know that like they're kind of
full of shit. You know, if we're adhering to the actual original definition,
they're getting people riled up.
Yeah.
It's a way to get old people riled up and get everybody riled up.
Because I mean, honestly, you know, just if we want to go with this new definition of fascism, which I think you're totally correct, people have changed the word to meaning national socialist.
It's super inclusive. It means whatever you fucking want it to mean. Anybody that doesn't agree with you, that may be trying to infringe on your fucking groove, is a fascist.
Right, exactly. And so I would say, you know, people who are trying to you know, there's bullies on both sides.
Absolutely.
You know, that's all.
And I think that we need, like, I know you keep trying to get us back here, and I'm going to get us back here right now, because that's a good segue. Is America becoming fascist? And I think that, like, you were kind of hinting at that there is an argument to be made that overall, if we just take the whole fucking deal of America and just ask ourselves questions, is it becoming more fascist or not in these certain ways, that we're going to get a surprising answer.
Yeah. See, initially I thought no, right, because in my uneducated idiot perspective, which maybe I should have like run with in order to make this episode more like idiots discuss the universe, I thought no, because there's no way in a fascist country that two idiots could get together in a basement and record a podcast about whether or not their country is fascist. That's, and then release
thing.
It.
That's one thing.
You know, right, that doesn't there. Seem like something that would be mm-hmm. able to happen in a fascist country, legally speaking.
Right.
You know, and plus, like, there's so much media and material and free thought flowing around all the time. I was just like, that just seems like a silly question. Is America becoming fascist?
Let's play a fun game where I'll go through, like, some aspects of, like, fascism, and you'll say whether you feel like those are things present in general American society or not.
Let's do it.
All right. Do you feel that fascism has a fixation on youth? Do you believe that America has a fixation on youth, Spencer?
Yes.
Yes. Culturally, like, we have 100%. Been since the 60s, we are youth-oriented, obsessed culture. Mm-hmm. I think that's true. Fascists are pro the limiting of free speech. Do you believe like that's happening in America?
Yes. 100%.
Okay. In what way?
I mean, I think all of so I think we should play this game through and then I can explain myself.
Okay. You know? That's good. Okay. A fascist society has an obedient population.
Yes.
A fascist society has an authoritarian government.
Yeah. I mean, yes and no. Actually, no. No on that one. We don't have authoritarian government.
A fascist society has a strong sense of nationalism.
Yeah, we've got that.
A fascist society has an efficient government.
Definitely don't have that. Progressive
mobility. Fascist society uses lots of symbology.
Sure.
And a fascist society urges aggressive mobilization.
Yes. I definitely see that.
Let's start with that one. What do you see as the aggressive mobilization that our society urges us to do?
They urge us to go out and protest all of these, like, Trump things. That is the... I think all of the most of these things that I see being fascist are coming from the left. I'm just going to go out and say it. I'm not a cut and dry conservative. I've grown up in Portland my whole life. I've been well schooled on the ways of the liberal left, and I honestly have believed in them 100% until about, you know, like a year ago, maybe, until I actually started questioning why I believe the things that I do. And a lot of those things, like,
but I think you do still agree with most of the liberal core principles.
Gay rights, anyone can get married, trans people are totally human and have the right to do whatever they want. I believe that pot should be legal, but I also race. What? Don't train me. What? He's telling me to say race. What about race?
You haven't mentioned it before. Pot.
What race? What about races?
Do you believe that the races are all should be treated equally?
Oh no, that's actually the one thing I don't believe in, Craig. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Well,
I'm just like, God, I'm just so, that's so stupid. Yes, of course I fucking believe that. All races should be treated equally. And I think it's like I think it's crazy that I have to
You don't have to. I mean, I was just saying that, like, I wanted you to make sure to mention that as one of the first things. And again, like, like, that speaks to your point that I wanted you to mention that too, because I know who you are, and like you're mentioning the legalization of pot before like the equal treatment of the of racist.
I just,
and that's me being the fucking thing.
No,
that's me being the thing.
Well, I just
I mean,
don't,
we'll cut this all out, but like it's
we gotta keep this in.
Yeah, that's kind of weird in the sense that, like, you know, Spencer, like, don't hurt yourself. That's what I was worried. That, like, right. You know, people are going to think, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, you I was worried.
I wasn't like, I was worried for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, say, you know, make sure that
make
you
sure
mention
you
that
it,
first.
Or else what's going to happen? Who's going to come after you?
Right.
Oh, then that seems like a fascist thing. Like, obviously, I believe all races should be treated equally, and I don't think that the unequal treatment of races is a conservative value. I think mm-hmm. that's something that has been we have been led to believe is a conservative value, but I think there's a ton of conservative people out there who are totally pro legal immigration and don't really care where you've come from as long as you come here and you pay taxes and you,
well,
you're doing all that stuff.
Yes,
you know?
I think that racism is a different issue.
I think racism exists. I'm not going to say
on both
it doesn't
sides.
Exist.
Racism exists on both sides.
Ooh, see that you're throughout for you
throughout America.
That's not okay,
oh,
Craig.
Dude.
You can't racism. You can only be racist.
Racism doesn't exist in the Democratic Party.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Is that what you're insinuating?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Are there people out there? Are there people out there that say that it doesn't exist in the Democratic Party?
I'm sure there are.
Really?
Yeah, I mean they run on the party of being like for the minority. You know, obviously they're not racist, right?
Oh, I think that it's. I mean, it's. I think that they're probably the least racist, but I mean in a lot of ways
I used to think that, but now sometimes I wonder, because sometimes I think they insidiously use
after the comments just
people.
About like, you know, when those behind the DNC comments about Bernie being Jewish, like, I mean, obviously
yeah.
it exists to some degree. I don't think anybody's making that argument that like it doesn't exist. I mean, because
right.
I think that it's just part of being an American is there's racism all over the place for all sorts of
shit. They just get to play like the moral card all the
time.
That's
the thing. That's
the
thing.
They get to play like we're the champion of the oppressed people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if you argue against us, then we will send them after
and
you.
And the thing is that I think those that are in power, like there are some people that there are rich white people that like to have the black people vote for them, and they say what they have to say to get that done.
Which to me
but
is
behind closed
fucking,
doors,
yeah.
they are no different than the Republicans right across the aisle. And
to me, that's
absolutely true.
And that's to me, that's worse. Honestly, because I like what's scarier, someone who is smiling and shaking your hand and telling you that, you know, they're on your side, but then behind closed doors, they don't give a shit about you.
Right.
They're using you, and they don't give a shit what happens to you as long as you do what they want. Or
mm-hmm.
the guy across the street yelling
yeah.
profanities at you, who you can just like stay away from. You're like, that guy's fucked. Fuck that guy. Never have to see him again. The first
mm-hmm.
one is scarier to me
mm-hmm.
because you're going to get close to that person. You're going to put your resources into supporting that person, you know, who actually doesn't have your best interests at heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person
mm-hmm.
across the street you don't ever have to get close to, because you can see right off the bat they're racist, you know.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like putting extra salt on the popcorn so you sell more beer. I mean, it really is in the sense that it's all kind of this big operation to get everybody kind of moving into,
yeah,
which we might get into a little bit in the next episode that we record, kind of like where this is all kind of headed and
headed.
All this stuff, but like I think overall, we have a good point in the sense that, yes, there is a limiting of free speech and free thought to a certain degree on a social pressure level. Again, like being mocked and harassed on Twitter is not the same as having dudes show up at your house and take you to an undisclosed location for the rest of your short life.
What about getting fired from your job, becoming a social pariah? Not being able to get another job.
That's always been a risk in living in a society. Like, you could be accused of witchcraft in the early modern Europe, and you would get way worse than that, or you would be excommunicated from the church. There's always been that aspect of life in America, the Red Scare. Yeah. There was always that sort of thing going on at some point, somewhere, always in human society.
Well, so I just want to be clear. I guess the reason I do see fascist elements on both sides, but I see them more on the left. I see them more on the left, especially after researching what fascism is truly. And the left fits both of these things, where they're bullies, you know, they're bullies to people who have different opinions than them. You know, like me, I'm putting myself in a position where they could all call me horrible things like racist, misogynist, all these things that I'm not, you know, simply because I dare to disagree with them.
Right. And I don't even know that you're disagreeing with the words coming out of your mouth. You're more disagreeing with the socio-political effect of how they go about delivering that message. I think if you're anti-corporation, you're anti-corruption or whatever, they're anti a lot of stuff and pro a lot of stuff that I agree with.
Sure.
But they use those issues in ways that subvert their own progress.
Right. Their tactics are garbage and manipulative. Yeah. Well, so I just wrote down a few things because I feel like at the beginning we talked about why the conservatives are fascists, why they appear to be fascists, and that goes to their ties with nationalism and racism. Mm-hmm. You know, those I think are the big shining key points. With the left, they've also got stuff, and that's like the silencing of free speech and deeming opinions they disagree with as hate speech and therefore violence, because like there's a connection to, okay, if you say that, like, you know, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example. Oh, like the welfare state is bad or something like that, or that doesn't help black people. Oh, okay. Well, that's racist. Racism is hate speech. Hate speech is violence. Therefore, I can firebomb your car, or I can like scratch up this Starbucks or something. Therefore, I can do this because you actually did violence against me, because hate speech is violence. It's turning speech, an opinion, you know, which, you know, is just an idea into a form of violence. Therefore, violence is okay to retaliate against.
And that chain of thought is especially prominent in places like where we live.
We're in like the hub of it.
And that's the thing that we have to probably like express to everybody out there, is that we do kind of see kind of a super pronounced liberal. I don't know if it's liberal or it's even beyond
that. It's leftist.
There's a leftist part of the city that is as poorly informed as any country bumpkin out there.
Yeah. And the exact same.
They are pretty obnoxious, in a lot of ways. And so we see like the dirtiest underbelly of it. I know there are a lot of nice Democrats out there just nice liberal people that are nice liberal people, and nice conservative people that are nice conservative people.
I've met both at the wedding I was just at. They were
all
both
over the place.
And we had beers together, and it was great. And we didn't really talk about any of this stuff because, God, who wants to do that at a wedding?
And good people are good people. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's the end of the story. And
right, but then there are people on both sides, who would completely disagree with you. They're like, no, they're masquerading as good people, but because they're on the opposite side of me, they're actually not a person. They're a terrible person. You know, they're doing their best to dehumanize whoever is on the opposite end. Both sides. You know, I totally agree that both sides are doing it,
which is a strong part of anti-intellectualism, you know, which is, I think, the true problem that's running through America right now is the lack of disciplined thought in its populace.
Lack of critical thinking, lack of fact checking. Mm-hmm. And that this goes into, you know, the whole thing you said about the youth with fascism. I think the left has really tapped into the youth and really tapped into their current lack of critical thinking in a lot of ways.
I do too.
You know,
but I think that's one of the areas that I might pick a little bit of a bone on that, though, because the youth are not leading that in the sense that it's still a bunch of baby boomers in Washington, and those dudes are still the ones pulling the triggers.
I don't know. Have you seen these videos of college campus protests and whatnot?
But who's funding that shit, and who's paying for the people to get it organized?
Right.
It's not those. It's most of the time it's not those kids. It's people. It's still a bunch of baby boomers. It's still that generation.
It's still the people at the top who are mobilizing the youth at the bottom.
Absolutely.
Right. But that's what I think is the definition of fascism. It's never like a 13-year-old is like the president.
In a lot of fascists and like a lot of Nazis, it was the youth that took those super leadership positions and were molded into that new person.
You still had Hitler and his cronies at the very top. I guess you're true. You know what I mean? Like, they're still being used. They're still being mobilized. Uh-huh. Like, the youth, which is what's happening within academia, you know, they're all taught that, like, you know, communism and socialism is like the answer. You know, I remember being taught that when I was going to PSU, and I remember being like, this seems like some and I totally failed that class because I just couldn't even go anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think that the whole mobilization of the youth is 100% a thing of fascism, and it's 100% a tactic that the left is using, you know, and their lack of critical thinking, along with believing whatever they see on BuzzFeed or fucking Vox or all those like Facebook, YouTube news channels, Young Turks, you know, they just believe it 100%, and then they just go out because they're like, oh my God, my country, it might become Nazi Germany. Mm-hmm. I need to go out. I don't want to be on the wrong side of history here. I need to go out and protest this with all my might, you know, because it's me. I'm the youth. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who's, you know, going to change the next generation, the future. I'm the one who's in charge of making sure this country doesn't go down the wrong rabbit hole.
Right.
And so I think they're very misled on that. And there is actually a solid group of young people who are critical thinkers and do see through the bullshit that they're being fed, especially I think with the election of Trump, because so many of them are like, oh, well, I mean, the polls all say Hillary's going to win. You know, why would the news lie to us? Why would the news, and even if they're not lying, how could they be so drastically misinformed? Hillary has a 90% chance of winning. Mm-hmm. Look at Wolf Blitzer. That's what he just said. Yeah. They're wrong. Oh,
it's
my God.
It's so strange how the media still expects us to believe all their polls. They bring that up all the time. Yeah. And haven't we learned like repeatedly that like you people have no idea really what's going on? You know, that these polls are antiquated as far as the truth about what's going on with America's thought patterns. I mean, like, they just have been wrong so much.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they use those polls to influence. I don't know. I mean, like, this is really turning into like this really like depressing sort of like who's the good guys? You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Who's the good guys? And that's,
we're the good guys, everybody.
I guess, you know, I guess the common people that just, you know, kind of want to make it better are the good guys. But like, there are no good options, you know, because I don't know, like conservative Republicans are all a bunch of fucking bought and sold motherfuckers for sure. Grew up in Wyoming, man. Like, that is as deep in the hole on the other side as Portland, Oregon is on this side, you know? And it's just as much fucking bullshit there as anywhere.
No, I totally agree. I'm not trying to, like, express...
But, I mean, it's depressing. I'm not coming after you.
For sure.
Dude, like, it makes me sad.
It makes me sad, but it also kind of excites me because I really do think that if a person is led to feel safe, I think and they can express themselves, people really do agree on a ton of shit. Like the majority of the population, I do really think agree on a ton of shit.
I saw a stat once, and this is probably, I'm making this, you know, obviously this idiot stat recall process, and it's going to be iffy, but someone was kind of going through and they took like, what do they call the tea bag party. And then they took the tea baggers.
Yeah. The tea baggers.
No, the tea party. Uh-huh. And, and then the Wall Street squatters, those dudes too.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
They did like this questionnaire and they went through a lot of different rallies with these people. And of the ones that, you know, were sober and could read and write out of both groups, they asked these people these questions of like what they thought about all this broad variety of American issues. And the agreement level was like 86%.
Yeah.
86%.
Yeah.
And they had no idea. They're just like, oh, just trying to get a pulse of like what you teabaggers think about this, you know, so just kind of fill this out and take a little time with this interview. And they did the same thing with the Wall Street people. And it was like 87%. It's poor people feeling like their options are getting narrower every year and they're not like sure that their kids are going to have a better life than they had. And they know that they are not having a better life than their parents had.
Sure.
That's what's going on right now. And that's going on all across the country. Mm-hmm. And people are getting kind of, you know,
people are getting fed up.
And when that happens, you get fucking demagogues and charlatans, mm-hmm. and soothsayers.
Yeah.
They show up like fucking rats.
Yeah. Like rats to the feeding.
And we got them, you know?
Oh, sure.
I mean, Trump is kind of the big banana out of that fucking deal. I mean, he is. He's a strong man. He's a cult of personality. You know, he's offering some ease. It's going to be easy. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the things they tell people. Like, it's going to be real easy to fix it. That's one of the first rounds. But it's not going to be over. Even after Trump, like, we're kind of like this battered child population, and we're looking for, you know, something to turn it around, mm-hmm. you know, because it's going in a direction that seems hopeless.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way.
And we're overloaded with sorrow and negativity and fear and shit on the internet. I mean, just constant bombardment of shit.
People need to take a break from that shit and just walk around and realize, wow, this shit is pretty great.
Right. Go to the nearest truck stop and just sit down and get a greasy old hamburger and hang out with some truckers and some dudes that are voting fucking for Trump. And they're just normal fucking dudes. They're nice to the waitress and they tip okay and they're okay.
Yeah.
Most of them are just
go to the grocery store and look at the aisles and aisles and vast rows of food that you can just pick and buy and realize that this shit is pretty incredible. Look at the advancements being made in technology. Look at the free ideas, even though a lot are depressing, flowing through the internet. All of the music, all of the content, you know, all of the art that's being made right now. We live in a pretty fucking amazing time. And that is something that I have just, you know, I get depressed too. This stuff definitely bums me out. But I think, you know, more and more every day.
And then show up to fucking vote when it's time to vote.
Yeah, because show up to vote.
I mean, obviously, like...
But honestly, I'll put myself on blast. I did not vote in the last election, you know. And I think that was, in itself, a type of vote. And there's people on both sides who will get...
I think that's there's an argument for that.
Yeah, because for sure. That is my right to withhold my vote because I do not disagree with either side. That is my inherent right as an American. I have the right not to fucking vote, especially if I'm voting between a douche and a turd sandwich, you know?
But when I don't vote for, I vote for like the local.
Yeah. Vote for the local shit, you know?
Yeah. You know, I mean, like you should send in your ballot without filling out the people that you don't want to vote for. Yeah. You just leave that blank and you voted in. That's the statement.
I was just talking about the presidential election.
That's the statement. That's the statement.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what I did on the presidential election, but I didn't vote. I didn't vote for one of them or the other either, too. I left that part blank. But I voted for everybody else. I made sure that the cocksucker that was running for a senator or whatever didn't get it.
Yeah.
The other person that I hated the least. You know, sometimes I vote for the person I hate the least.
I refuse to settle for that.
It still counts for some shit.
I guess.
It still counts for some shit.
I guess.
And they like to know, and it's good to let them know that you're paying attention. That's another thing, too. Like, the more those ballots they get, the more they pay attention to what people think, and the less they get, they just get their yes man to show up, and it's all right.
I'm not saying don't vote as a policy. I'm saying pay attention, but then if you really feel like you're, you know, being put in a place of, like, you know, it would go against your morals equally to vote for either person.
Right in ZZ Top.
Yeah, exactly. Right in Michael Bly. That's what I did.
Michael Bly.
Who's my former roommate.
Michael Bly.
Michael Bly for president. Huh. Everyone would have a bearded dragon if Michael Bly were president, and everyone would be forced to listen to about, I would say, 15 minutes of the jam band Consider the Source every day, you know, in a dark float tank.
I would have to vote no.
I love you, Michael Bly.
yeah, I would have to vote for somebody less.
No, just embrace it. You would love
jam
it.
Jam band. Oh my God, there's some deep jam band the other night.
Are a whole episode.
I won't get into it, but it makes me pull down the bill of my hat in sorrow just to think about the times.
So I would say, in conclusion, if I may, to this episode, because I feel like we're about to wrap it up.
I think we're pretty close.
You know, America is currently displaying some rather alarming national socialist, fascist tendencies on both sides of the aisle. On both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
Are we currently a fascist nation? No. But we are displaying some symptoms on both sides. Hey, everyone, lobbing the insult across the aisle at each other. It's both.
We're doing it in a different way, but it feels like it's moving that way.
Yeah, but the thing about it,
that's a little poem almost. We're doing it in a different way. No, way in ways. It's a bad
poem. Yeah, that's bad. That's a kindergarten poem, Craig.
I'm sorry, Spencer.
It's okay. I mean, I'm just real disappointed in you.
We're going to do a segment, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. We're going to do a segment. I just wanted to wrap up this big piece.
Absolutely.
I just think that's the conclusion, is that on the grand scheme of things, we're not fascist. You know, we can still have free thought, and we can still make podcasts and art and cool stuff like this. But are we displaying some tendencies? Is everyone getting a little fascisty, you know, on the fringes and you know, sometimes in the middle? Yeah, it's happening. Yeah. But, you know, I think that because it's on both sides, that for some reason gives me a little bit of hope.
And another thing that gives me hope is that it seems, from the terms that we've discussed today, it's always been kind of going on for like the last 50, 60, 70 years. Yeah. And we still like have representational democracies and safety checks that kind of keep it from going over the top.
Totally.
And those still seem to be working kind of in a slow, messy way.
Yeah. So I guess the moral of the story is, like, get off your phone once in a while, get off the news feed, and just like go walk around outside and, you know, shit's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah. So we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back with a song review like we do here in IDTU. But this time it's going to be a total mystery. It's going to be a new release, but we have no idea what it's going to be. We're going to figure out some way of randomly generating a song.
I'm afraid, Craig.
Me and Spencer are going to either like it or not like it, but most likely we're going to talk a bunch of shit. So whatever music's probably playing in the background right now is the song that we're going to review, and we'll be right back to talk about it.
I put the feline in my hand looking like a chia pet, and you know they getting green if a flower on their neck. If a flower on their neck, hit Clancy on the text. I ain't trying to check a bag, can we get another jet? I ain't gassing niggas up, but that fuel is 50 grand. Passion fruit and DR had me dripping in the sand. New nigga from New York, I'ma give him sticky hands, sticky fingers from the green. Jazz be playing with them grams, they was playing at the grams. One nine ain't enough, I'ma make sure that shit ain't happening again. Yuck. golf balls, it's the golf balls, and that 12-seater wings looking like a hawk ball. Getting to the paper, better reappoint.
All right, so the song that we just listened to was 435 by Tyler the Creator, the new Tyler the Creator song. 435. And, I don't know, Craig, thoughts?
I've heard him before, and I really like his voice. You know, his timbre and his delivery is really nice. Reminds me of a lot of, like, you know, kind of like Tribe Called Quest, sort of, and Far Side, and some of that sort of, like, that style of rap, which I really enjoy. And but for some reason, I don't know, I kind of felt like this song never got there.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
I like what I heard, but I felt like I kept waiting for it to, like, okay, where's the hook? Where's it going to drop? Where's it going to kind of
change up? Yeah, it was basically like one beat and like a verse.
I was surprised when it was over.
Yeah. No, me too. I looked at the time.
How long was it?
A minute and a half. There's been this whole trend lately within rap of going for, like, really short songs. And I think people are catering to the really increasingly short attention spans of the youth, you know?
A minute and a half.
That's a song. And I like the beat because it sounded like he was going for, like, more of an old school type feel, more sample based rather than electronic music based.
No, I enjoyed that sound in the background, and I mean the way it kind of started to mix up a little bit. And I guess I want to hear the next song on the album because I feel like it's going to blend into that.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was just kind of short, and in that way, it was disappointing.
Yeah, I was waiting for the bridge or the chorus
to, like, maybe take the next step up energy-wise.
Well, it needed to shift key and go into a chorus or a hook or something.
Yeah, I mean, I
and it just ended.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I guess this is kind of like the, you know, I guess I feel like I'm like a 50-year-old dude here in Elvis for the first time. It's a minute and a half long, and I don't know what to think.
Right.
You know?
Well,
I mean, I get it when, like,
it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But, like,
it was just a little disappointing. Like, a little bit of, like, a tease. And then you're like,
a tease. It was a tease.
Yeah. Maybe
it was a commercial.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he was doing that intentionally because he did just release an album, like, late last year.
You know, why would you buy that song? You could just go to iTunes and, like, oh, I just want to hear what it sounds like. And that sample is, like, the whole song.
The whole song, yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, that's a trend that's been happening, is the short, like, songs.
Yeah, I'm so shocked by the length of the song that I can't remember what the song was really about, what he was talking about.
I can't really remember what it was. Like, I was picking out different things, and it sounded like it was maybe just, like, a decent throwaway verse that didn't quite make his album or something. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot of, you know, there were some clever lines and everything, but it wasn't necessarily about anything more than, like, how, you know, he is very cool.
But this is a single.
It's a single. I mean, it's not part of any album. It's his most recent song that he's released.
Huh.
So, I don't know. Okay. Maybe it is like a teaser. And in that case, I'm interested, you know?
I am, too.
But as like a standalone song, it's cool, but I just like was like a little disappointed with the length. I feel like, yeah, he could have thrown in a hook, could have maybe upped the energy level and thrown in another verse. But, you know, if the purpose was to, like, just intrigue and tease people, then, I mean, it's successful in that. Because, when it ended, I saw your face. You were, like, getting into the vibe, you know? You were, like, sinking into it a little bit more. But then it cut off, you know?
And then it ended. And I'm like, okay, there's a moment of silence, and it's really going to... And then you're like, it's over. Because you saw me sitting here like, okay.
Yeah, you were ready.
Yeah,
so I
gotta be who I am, you know, I'm gonna give it like a C minus.
Oh shit! Yeah,
like a C minus. I mean,
it did you dirty.
Yeah, I mean, it really doesn't even deserve that in a sense that, like,
really,
in a sense that it's like if I were a teacher and I assigned, like, I need you to
It didn't even fulfill the requirement.
Write me a paper covering these five things.
Right.
You know? Or like, I'm going to get out a test with five essay answers, and the first, you answered the first question beautifully, but you left the other four blank.
Right.
I'm going to have to give you the funky on that
right.
one. You know, I'm sorry. You know, you just didn't answer the rest of the questions.
Well, so you're being gracious and giving it a
passing grade. Well, it was really good. Like, that was a great, that answer the demonstrated that they did know the rest of the information
right.
that was required to pass the test, but they just didn't follow the way the test was supposed to run. But I guess that could also be like some user error, some old guy prejudice or whatever. But like, if I'm paying $1.29 for that motherfucker, you know, like I want to at least pay like a penny a second.
Yeah, I hear you.
Is that too much? A penny a second? Is that the going rate?
That would be a penny a second.
That would be a penny a second.
$1.29 to minute 30.
Oh, you're guessing. Minute 33. Like, yeah,
so you're getting a little less than a penny a second.
That's too damn high.
You'd rather pay a penny for 5 seconds.
Tyler, the creator.
All right. Well, I give it a B minus because I do agree that.
Be giving that fucker $1.29 for it.
Probably. You're gonna buy it?
Well, I got it. I got to figure out to drop it into the.
I can make a playlist, and I don't have to.
How do you get the MP3 off of Spotify?
You can download it.
Yeah.
If you pay premium.
Oh. I should maybe start to pay them premium.
Should get Spotify. Apple Music kind of blows. Well, they're cool because they do have the lyrics.
Oh, I don't pay for that either. I just have like...
You just buy it off iTunes.
Buy what little I do, or I just get CDs from the library.
I like Spotify a lot, even though they also are suspect in their own ways. But anyway, I would give it a B- just because I was definitely disappointed. I like the beat a lot. The verse was like pretty cool. Although I was expecting Tyler to maybe go a little bit more nuts, but he did supposedly do it all in one take, so that's cool.
Oh, you know? Okay.
Yeah, at the end, he was like, one take, motherfucker, you know.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Like I say, like I just didn't get many of the vocals, or I'm so shocked that it was over, but like, man, I really liked what I heard.
Yeah. I think you would really like his previous album, The Flower Boy.
The Flower Boy.
Yeah.
I feel like he did stuff with Flying Lotus or somebody that I do
he
have.
He might have, yeah. He...
Flying Lotus kind of does stuff with everybody. Every song is somebody new, I feel like. Or maybe that's just the albums that I've gotten from him. But yes. No, this was very interesting. So yeah, I will give it, but too short.
All right, well. Thanks everyone for tuning in. This has been another song review by Idiots Discuss the Universe.
Yes, thank you, everybody. Yeah, we're going to be back soon with a new episode. Don't forget to like us and
subscribe
to us and listen to all of our. I don't know. Do it all. Do all that internet stuff.
You know, just listen like, to it. Show us to your friends.
Get on it like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, heckle us in the comments, you know, just do whatever you want.
Because we really want to do like a listener mail episode.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Like,
or if we
could
do
God.
A segment every episode, if we get enough listener mail.
That'd be so fucking great.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
That would be so great.
Even if it's hate mail, we will
help
totally
us
read
out.
It.
Oh, we'd love to have a little hate mail.
Yeah.
Hate mail.
All right, you guys have a wonderful 4th of July, even though you probably are going to hear this after 4th of July, but it's 4th of July today when we're recording it.
But we're going to do a special 4th of July bonus episode that that we'll have already heard and they'll know about.
Nice.
But we like to kind of do that way in the future past foreshadowing thing.
Yes.
That's how we do the time travel here at the IDTU. All right, everybody, have a good night. I'm Craig. That's Spencer.
Hey, bye. Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in the IDTU studios located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.